You are listening to the Critical Mass Radio Show, Orange County's business talk show, focused on exploring topics of interest to CEOs who are leading middle market companies, with your host, Richard Franzi.
Welcome to this edition of Critical Mass Radio Show. I am your host, Richard Franzi, and this is podcast episode number 1021. Every interaction counts. Whether it be the way you collaborate or the way you innovate, all interactions add up to the overall experience of an effective team and effective team building. This is backed by science, the science of emotional connection in businesses that cannot be ignored. I've invited Dr. Lola Gershfeld to join me today to discuss how you can create a revolution in board and team dynamics. Lola, welcome to the radio show.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you very much.
It's great to have you here. Let's get started with this question. What would you say is the most powerful motivational force in our brains?
That's easy. The most powerful motivational force in our brain is the need to connect, to belong, to know that the people we depend on will respond to us when we call. You see, the science is very clear. This isn't about how strong you are as a person or how mature you are. It is about the fact that you have a mammalian brain.
Okay.
And what your mammalian brain tells you is that being alone with no one watching your back and looking out for you is dangerous. And indeed it is. We're not designed to face the external threats like the economy or the competition or life alone. We don't do it well. Whenever I hear people say, this person is being difficult or has a personality disorder, I look through this lens of this new science and say, well, no, this person is actually terrified. They're in a terrible attachment panic, and they don't know how to deal with it. So they deal with it by perhaps by getting angry, which pushes people away, or they deal with it by shutting down, which also pushes people away.
And that's the exact opposite of what they really want.
Exactly.
So they're not in their own self-interest. When people react to it by shunning them because they don't want to be around that, so they get what they're asking for, even though it's not what they want.
That's exactly right. What's interesting about it is that the scientists have really come up with three questions that the brain constantly asks. And we have like a little radar in our brain assessing that connection.
Okay.
And those three questions are, do I matter? Am I important? And will you be there when I need you? In the business meetings, for example, board meetings or team meetings, that radar is very attuned to everybody who's around you.
Uh-oh.
And so it looks at the facial expression, it pays attention to the body language.
Right.
And as soon as it senses no or maybe, it turns on the panic button.
Okay.
And then now you start to push for connection, maybe by criticizing and blaming or judging. And what happens to the other person? They start defending, distancing, and stonewalling. And so they get caught in this negative cycle for reaching for connection, but actually they're scaring each other. Angry criticism actually cues distancing and stonewalling.
What do you mean?
In a way that if people say, you don't respond to me. You know, how can I work if you don't respond to me?
Right.
I send emails after emails
you're
and you don't respond
me.
To me. You're ignoring me. And the other person says, well, who can talk to somebody who's angry all the time?
Hmm.
And so they get caught in these constantly dismissing and stonewalling.
These negative circles of conversation.
And, you know, people say that they quit because of the differences. No, not really. They quit because they lose connection.
Hmm.
Conflict is never the issue. Conflict is the inflammation. The virus.
Like the symptom.
Yes, exactly. The virus is emotional disconnection.
So your study is really looking at this interpersonal dynamic.
Yes,
then.
That is correct, which is driven by emotions.
Really?
Yes,
come on,
driven.
We're all rational beings now.
I know. When I started this, people say like, what? Emotions?
Yeah.
We don't talk about that.
Right. That's,
no.
I'm uncomfortable even thinking that.
It is uncomfortable. Yes, exactly. But what's interesting about it is when people realize how powerful that is, it's amazing what happens to me. I mean, I was at a board meeting the other day, and at the beginning, the director says, I don't have any time. I can't take any more assignment. I'm just way too busy. And then after 2 hours...
At the beginning of the meeting?
Yeah, the beginning of the meeting.
Oh, boy. Okay.
And then when we had an opportunity to access his emotion, what was happening for him, and create these bonding conversations, at the end, he started to volunteer for more assignments and help out without anybody asking him.
So what changed?
the block. We removed the block of emotional disconnect. He was hurt in one situation where he didn't know how to express it, and that's what the disengagement happens because of that.
So you've been studying this for some time, and you are really taking a emotional look at the energy and the relationships that are going on that maybe either move positive direction or retard its performance,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
If you don't deal with the need for connection and the feeling of being disconnected, you can't get a high performance team
together.
That is
correct.
Right?
Yes, yes. People become disengaged. They lose the motivation and they start criticizing and blaming.
All that dysfunction comes from a simple, not a simple, but an identified cause.
Yes.
Can you talk about the tipping points and the relationship?
Sure. The new science of emotional connection provides us with a clear map on how we can take a board or a team that is not functioning well and shift them into a dynamic group of people.
And the same people.
Yes, the same people. Okay. It's really amazing to see this change. People deal with emotions differently. They start to reach out for each other. And they really, Jeff, for example, as a CEO of a manufacturing company, he said that I used to be frustrated all the time. The board wasn't engaged. And now we are different. We have our differences, but we can fight. But I know that I can turn to my board and they'll be there for me when I need them. What Jeff is talking about is what we call an ARE relationship, where the main question in emotional connection, are you there for me, is answered with a resounding yes. A, are you accessible to me?
Okay.
Can I reach you? Will you be there when I need you? R, will you respond to me even though you're stressed? R-E, will you engage with me? Will you stay emotionally engaged even though you don't agree with me and even though you're feeling stressed? We are talking about a very special kind of emotional presence. Board team dynamics is about creating that emotional safety for each other that is wired in as a survival code. It is wired in our brain over millions of years of evolution that is designed to keep the people we depend on close to us. When Jeff is faced with all kinds of obstacles to deal with on a daily basis, his board's emotional presence is a powerful safety cue for his brain, powerful enough to turn off fear and threat.
So this is... Is this just a West Coast thing, or is this a human thing where people might be listening to us in the East Coast?
It's universal.
Okay.
And it's becoming more and more prominent. In fact, there's an article that came out in Wall Street Journal that talks about how corporate cultures are turning empathy in training programs.
Is there a triggering event for that? Is it the demographics of the workforce? Is it something else?
No, I think people are understanding that you need that emotional connection, emotional safety, for you to perform, to work better together, to collaborate. The scientists and I think the corporate world is understanding that our brain, in order for us to function, need to create that emotional balance. Two tipping points, whether the board moves into alienation or moves into more secure connection. First tipping point is when someone realizes that we lost that connection. The second tipping point is when someone realizes that they long for that connection. And how you put your feet at this moment really determines how the dance unfolds.
Okay.
So let's look at the first one, loss for connection. In loss of connection, your brain goes into fear of rejection and abandonment. And that's not a choice, by the way, that the brain is wired like that. And it's very difficult for us to deal with. And when that happens, people don't know. What we know in science now is that the pain of rejection from someone you depend on registers in your mammalian brain in the same place and exact the same way as physical pain. Stepping on a nail and like looking
ouch.
At somebody, it's ouch, right? It's
right.
Getting rejected, it's right. Ouch.
Well, exactly. You know, we've had people on talking about neuroleadership, and they've made this point as well.
Exactly.
The brain can't differentiate emotional pain from physical pain.
Right, exactly.
And your pain is focused on the loss of connection.
Yeah, emotional safety.
If I was sitting around a table with a bunch of people that I didn't really trust, I probably wouldn't take much risk.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Really say many things that
exactly.
Could make me look even less likable or
right.
Whatever.
Right, it happens all the time.
All the time.
All the
okay,
time.
As you're talking, I'm remembering of a story when one of my children were younger and we were at a park. And it was my son, and he went up to a group of other boys that were playing, and he said, "Do you want to be my friend?" And I thought, how honest youth is, right? But aren't we, as even adults, when we're meeting people, asking that question? From what I'm hearing you say, treating people with connection is sort of like being a a friend to them, being kind to them.
Exactly, exactly. Right. But in order to do that, Richard, you need to be in tune to your own emotion, what's happening for you, so you can send clear emotional signals to each other. So you don't come out as criticizing, but you can talk about, like, you know, that really concerns me, or that's really painful to me. I'm very frustrated.
Oh, wow. So you have to find a way to be able to say it without alienating people by what they hear.
Once you learn how to address this in the emotional setting, it becomes simple. Because you can be very quickly to tune into your own emotions.
Okay, so this also touches on emotional awareness then.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
Understanding how you're feeling, what the triggers are, and how you're making
others. And so you can be clear on what you need.
Okay, this is interesting work. Help us understand how this could be a guide in the transformational journey to positive change.
The process that we created, it basically has three stages. The first stage is where we create safety in the relationship, where people can start sharing their concerns and vulnerability to start identifying the pattern, the steps in their pattern of interaction. The second stage is where we contain the negative cycle, and then we shift the board or team into a positive cycle of interaction where they start to pull each other closer and create this accessibility and responsiveness. And the third stage is we integrate, where we basically show them how to incorporate that into their culture. And it's a very collaborative process that when you create this emotional connection, you are stronger as a person. You are stronger as a team.
I'd have to believe that has a positive impact on the performance of the company.
Absolutely.
Then, right?